As you can see on the PowerPoint, we're going to talk a little bit this afternoon about instant gratification. And I think this is something that in the world that we live in is a big part. The world is always pushing us to have what the newest and greatest thing is, to drive the newest cars and the nicest cars and have the nicest houses. And if you want it, go get it. And if you want it, you have to have it now. You have to have it as it's new and this and that and instant gratification. And you know, the last few sermons I've given, I've talked about Romans chapter 12. Michael, if you don't mind giving me a hand, if I can do this without tangling this thing up, and I've already done it. Been talking about Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where the Bible talks about us being a living sacrifice. Go ahead and go on top of the pew if you don't mind. And in that next verse, it talks about not being conformed to the world. Just keep going. Not being conformed to the world, but being transformed a little further. Yeah, there you go. That'll work. Thank you, sir. But not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Right? And I think this mindset of instant gratification is something that pushes us more towards conforming to the world and being, you know, taking ourselves and making ourselves like the world, which is what Romans 12 is telling us not to do. I brought my laptop up here just in case this doesn't work. So this afternoon we're going to talk about three things around this thought of instant gratification. Financial, physical, and then spiritually. So in all these things, what I want the focus to be and what we think about is putting God first. Matthew chapter 6 and 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." The previous verses before this are talking about clothing and food and drink. And the Bible tells us if we put God first, we don't have to worry about those things. Those things are going to fall into place. But we need to be seeking first the kingdom of God, putting God first in everything that we do. I think that applies in our finances as well as every decision, everything that we do in our lives. I want you to imagine that this rope that's on these pews, and sorry if I'm trapping everybody in here, you can either duck underneath the rope if you got to leave or try to exit the other side, but I want you to imagine this rope as a timeline of your life. And this little blue section on the end is a moment, a decision, a choice that you have to make. And you look at that, you look down this timeline of your life. I don't know how long your life will be. Maybe it's 60, maybe it's 90 years, 100 years. I think I got over the oldest person in the room. But this small little section, this moment, this choice, this decision, this is what we want to focus on. And it's nothing compared to the rest of our lives, right? And it's the same thing in finances. 2013, I was sitting in my recliner at the house, and a commercial came on, and it was the 2014 Jeep Grand Cherokee on a TV, on a commercial. And boy, that, you know, the 2013 Jeep Grand Cherokee, I'd already seen it before, and it was nice, and I liked it. I liked the way it looked. And that 2014 had these cool LED headlights, and they were, I mean, it was sweet. And it was $8,000 more, and it was worth the $8,000 for those cool LED headlights, right? So I looked over at my wife. I said, "You like that?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You want one?" She said, "Yeah." 7 o'clock at night, we get in the car, and we go to the Jeep dealership. And I drive away with a $40,000 Jeep because a decision made just like that. You know, it was, maybe 3 months later, that payment came around again. And you know, I already had two vehicles sitting in the driveway, and both of them had payments on them too. All right, $580, $560, $330. I still remember how much those payments were because every month they came around, and every month I had to figure out how I was going to pay for it. And I started regretting this decision right here. You know, it turns out that it made my budget a little bit tight. So I had to start thinking about, how am I going to pay for this? Well, I've got to work overtime. That puts me at work on Sunday. Putting God first, right? Well, contribution plate comes by and I'm not able to put in as much as I want to. That's putting God first, right? But boy, that Jeep was so nice. But it's so little of my life. And it affects the rest of my life. If I decide to have 3 car payments for the rest of my life, it's going to affect my end goals in what I want to do. I want to retire someday. I don't want to work forever. But I wasn't able to save the money that I wanted to save because I had 3 car payments. You know, a year after I had that, there was a little scratch on that Jeep. Not everybody could see it, but I knew where it was because I spent $40,000 on it. There was plastic rivets in the bumper that kind of became a little wonky, and my bumpers weren't quite matching the contours of the rest of the Jeep. The water pump went out. I had to go get it fixed. And the regret that I had for that moment when I looked over at my wife and I said, "You want one? Let's go get it." Proverbs chapter 21 and 5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." You know what that decision would do to me if I just continued to make decisions like that? It would lead me to poverty because I was hasty in that decision. I said, "You want it, you got it, let's go get it." And at that point, I decided, this isn't what I want to do with my life. After a year of making those payments. And I decided at that point, I'm going to work on getting myself out of debt. It's not about looking cool. And boy, did I think I looked cool. I had that Grand Cherokee 2014 black leather, black on the outside, those cool LED headlights. And yes, it had a Hemi. And I had the car seats in the back. I was cool. All right. But hasty decisions lead to poverty. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 says, "And he said unto them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." You know, I had to come to a realization that life's not about the things that we have. It's not about how much we can acquire in this life. That's not what life's about. But when we have that mindset of I've got to have it and I've got to have it now, it throws off this whole timeline, and it's such a little time that brings us joy, pleasure, and all these types of things. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, I had 2 perfectly fine cars sitting in the driveway, but I had to have that newest and coolest thing, that little decision. Be content with what you have. Talk about the physical. You know, our bodies are made, and there's certain things that our bodies have to have. You think about food being one of those. And our body craves food, and it tells us when we're hungry. If you go long enough without food, your body's going to tell you, you need some food. And we feed our bodies. Now, how much do we feed our bodies might be another question. And we make those little decisions here that affect us down there. Maybe we eat the wrong types of foods. Maybe we eat too much of the wrong types of foods. And down there, it affects us. It affects our health towards the end of our life, or maybe anywhere in between. But what about other sins? What about sexual sins? Pornography? Sexual relations outside of marriage? What about drug abuse? Alcohol abuse? Those decisions, you know, you make them, and yeah, they may be fun. You might find pleasure. You might have joy for a little while. What about the rest of this? You know, you may wake up one morning and you have a pounding headache and you're puking your guts up in the bathroom. But boy, was this fun. You might wake up in a hospital bed with tubes shoved down your throat because you overdosed. But boy, was this fun. You might wake up all alone because your family left you because of the decisions that you made. Boy, was it fun. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. The devil's looking to devour you. And it's everywhere. You look around, you watch commercials on TV, you look at billboards on the side of the road, the people walking around, the things that are being done around us, and it's always there. And it's hard. He's looking to devour you. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41 says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want to do what's right, but my flesh is weak. And that little bit of fun, that little bit of pleasure, that decision that you made, that moment of your life, and you have all of this ahead of you that you're ruining. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The desires that our flesh has, we don't need to be providing for it. I think what this is saying is don't put yourself in a situation where those things are going to be hard and it's going to tempt you and it's going to tempt you to live right here in this moment. Don't provide for your flesh. That's not what it's about. Romans 6, verse 12 through 13 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. It says, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let it rule you. Don't let sin be your master. You know, you go back to the financial side, and there's a verse in Proverbs that talks about the borrower being slave to the lender. And it's the same way. With sin, we're letting it reign in our bodies, and that's what we're serving, is that moment, that instant, that decision. But you need to realize that you've been brought from death to life. Jesus died for you. He sacrificed his life for your sins. He wasn't living for the moment. He knew what it was all about. Looking towards the future. But we want to still live here. Matthew 16 and verse 24 says, and Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny ourselves. Don't give your body what it wants right then. Instant gratification is not what it's about. We've got to be looking towards the future and all the rest of this. You know, there was a little experiment done, and I don't remember the exact name of it. You can look it up on YouTube sometime, but it was a marshmallow test or marshmallow study. I don't remember exactly what it was called, but they brought these 5 and 6 year old kids one at a time into a room, and they set one marshmallow on a plate down in front of them. They say, you know, you can either sit there and eat that and enjoy that marshmallow, or if you wait 15 minutes, I'm going to leave. I'll be back in 15 minutes, and if you don't eat that marshmallow, I'll give you a second one. They leave that plate sitting there right in front of them, and they leave the kid in the room alone, 5 or 6 years old. This might not tempt a lot of us. I'm not a big marshmallow fan, but for a 5 or 6 year old kid, boy, that's tempting. They leave, and they have a video set up in the room, and you see these kids, and I don't remember how many of them there were, but they pick up that marshmallow, and they smell it, put it down, and you know, they're sitting there. You clock ticking in their head, and they're like, 15 minutes is a long time. They pick it up and they lick it, set it back down. Some of them just go right to it. They're like, I can't handle it. Start eating. And I think it was something like 60% of the kids ate the marshmallow before the 15 minutes was over. Isn't that how it is with sin? It's put right there in front of us, and it's so hard. We want to walk away from it, but it's so hard. We've been taught we need to live in this moment. We need to have fun and get what we want when we want it. But some of those kids, they didn't eat the marshmallow, and they received a reward. They get a second marshmallow. Talk about spiritually. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 says, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Self-control. Hard to have self-control. You know, now instead of this rope here being the timeline of your physical life, I want you to imagine that this rope goes on forever. And this blue portion of this rope now is your 60, 70, 80, 90 years, however long you're going to live. When you think of eternity, and this rope never ends, this is what we want to focus on? This is what we want to always have right now? I want to please myself. I want to have fun. I want to do all these things that the world tells me I need to do and I need to have. You've got an eternity to look forward to. And this, however long this may be, affects your eternity. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, that the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These sin problems that we talk about, if we're living in these, if we're serving sin, and sin is our master in this life, it affects all of this. Forever. You know, time is something that we live by, and we understand time in seconds and minutes and hours, days, months, weeks, all these different measures of time, but this goes on forever. But we want to live here. Romans 8, verse 5 through 6 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So if we're always here, if our mind is on our flesh and what pleases the flesh and what makes us happy right now, if we focus on that, it leads to death. Eternal damnation. Torture. But if we keep our minds on these things, on the Spirit, on the things that are pure, on things that are holy, it brings life and peace. And I don't know about you, but that sounds a lot better than death. But we want to focus here. This is where we want to make sure we're up to date on all the new gadgets, and we want to please ourselves constantly. But it's such a small portion of eternity. This afternoon, maybe you're struggling with sin. Maybe it's something that we've talked about. It's something we haven't talked about. I want to encourage you to make it right